I want to go the distance. And he's going to. It's a 5-3. Raise the Jolly Roger in a masterpiece.
Oviedo, a two-hit shutout in Kansas City.
Well, Zach Greinke's pitching, so you know that the Royals more than likely will get shut out. And Zach Greinke pitched last night, went 4 2/3, gave up 2 runs, kept them in it. Gee, that sounds familiar. It's kind of like the same movie over and over and over. It's like Groundhog Day, if you ever saw that one. Over and over and over. Kind of like watching Nebraska football under Scott Frost. Over and over and over. Ooh, they're close, but they can't win any of the close games. Zach Greinke goes to the mound, the Royals hardly ever score for him. At least it seems that way. And Zach would have probably, if he pitched for anybody but the Royals, even when he was a Cy Young Award winner and he didn't get wins that he should have that year, he would probably have another 30 or 40 wins in his career.
Yeah.
He'd have over 3,000 strikeouts, I would guess, too.
Yes.
But anyway, he's at, 2,962 now, I believe, and don't know if he's going to get there this year, 3,000 Ks.
No, I
doubt it. And the Pirates score 1 in the second, 1 on the third off of Greinke, and the Royals don't score. Only 2 hits, 2 stinking hits, that's right, for the Royals. Shut out for the 14th time this season. That ties a Major League Baseball lead. That's not something you want. They lost 4 in a row, 11 in the last 13, and Oviedo finished the game, a complete game, shut out with the 2 hits, just 2 walks. Royals are 41-92, Pirates 59-73. Game 2 of the 3-game set, 7-10-9 KC. Cole Reagans is really the only reason to watch the Royals other than Bobby Witt Jr. right now, and he had the most Ks in August so far, and he's 5-4, ERA 3.66, and he's been super since being acquired by the Royals. And by the way, Brady Singer's likely skipping his next start due to arm fatigue, and I say shut him down for the rest of the year. There's no plan. Yeah. He's part of the future, hopefully. He's pitched well recently. Maybe makes another couple of starts. Let's space it out as much as we can, and let's make sure he's good to go for next year. Hey, by the way, if you want to play fantasy football for free, we have a few spots open. We need to fill the spots for us to have a fantasy football league here through the radio station. It doesn't cost you a penny to play. You can brag or you can mope. If you're beating us, or mope if you're losing to us radio guys in this competition, we'll have some fun to update it throughout the year on the Sports Ticket and during the season. If you like to play, it's free. All you need to do is call 545-3220. Give us your name, your cell phone, or best contact information and email address. Leave it on voicemail if we don't answer, and we have a few spots available. We want to get to 12 is the total we want. Yeah, for fantasy football, then we set up a draft, which you can do at home on the computer. It takes 40, 45 minutes. We can set it up and be done very quickly, maybe an hour at the most. So if you want to play and you're interested, winner take all in regards to the prizes that we're going to be giving away. Might even be some cash involved, but it's a winner take all. So if the radio guys win, well, then we'll just go to the bank with that or reinvest it, perhaps. But whatever the case may be, if you want to play fantasy football for free and have a chance to win stuff at the end of the season, then you can call us and give us that information, and we can add you to the list, and we'll contact you if, in fact, we are going to do the Fantasy Football League. All right, local sports, we've got, well, first of all, why don't we go through a broadcast schedule first? Get that out of the way for this week, okay?
Yes, actually, we'll start tomorrow night with high school football locker room chats as we talk with the coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. And then Thursday night around 5:10, same time, we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills. So stay tuned for all that coming up this week. And then Friday night, we have high school football, the Football Express 540, presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable. And we'll have our game night coverage starting on Friday with pregame 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock on Katy Country 94, St. John's, Tipton, at Rock Hills. And then on Z9. 96.3 in the Beloit Trojan Channel. It is Beloit hosting Ellsworth. So that's our schedule for Friday night. And then we'll conclude it with the local high school football scoreboard show from State Farm Insurance. So be listening for all that coming up here this week as far as high school football is concerned. Beloit Volleyball coming up on Thursday as well at ncksports.com. You can find those schedules and find everything you need to know about local sports at ncksports.com. Today, we have volleyball back on the courts and tennis as well, and girls golf. Concordia's hosting their Invitational in girls golf. Tennis, Beloit and Osborne are at the Phillipsburg Invitational this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and Concordia's at Ellsworth at 1. And then high school volleyball here today. Northern Plains League, a lot of area teams are going to be in action. Lakeside is opening their season along with Pike Valley. Osborne's already had a match, but they're all up there at the Pike Valley Triangular in Scandia tonight. St. John's Tipton is hosting a triangular with Rock Hills and Natoma First time out for Rock Hills. Natome and St. John's Tipton already have some matches under their belt. Soap and Lucas Triangular, as the Letty Mustangs open their season, so does Southern Cloud. Thunder Ridge has played some matches there at that Triangular in Sylvan Grove as well. And then Stockton is at home for the first time as members of the Northern Plains League and welcoming in Lincoln and Tescott here this afternoon and evening. So, again, full schedules at NCKSSports.com. All those MPL matches will start at 4 o'clock. Some of them will start with varsity. Some will start with JV. But everything starts at 4 o'clock there for MPL matches here typically all season long for those teams. Also today, the Smith Center Lady Red will be opening their season. We're going to hear from Nick Lynn coming up momentarily. Smith Center obviously has established themselves as one of the top programs in Class 2A as they made the state championship the past three seasons. They won it 2 years ago, finished second in 2020, and last year the Lady Red do return six key players from the 40-5 team last season that finished second. They did lose four seniors. Miley Raby and Haley Feldman were the key players that they lost, but they do return five seniors with major experience in Cameron Hutchinson, Dakota Kattenberg, Gracie Kirkhoff, and Tenley Rentschler, and Bailey Archer, and Libera Lily Highland will be back as a sophomore. So they do have a lot of experience. You'll hear more about what they have from Coach Lynn, but Smith Center again opening their season tonight with a Triangular hosting Trigo and Plainville. And again, we did have a chance to catch up with Coach Lynn, and he previewed Lady Red Volleyball for 2023. Smith Center Volleyball Coach Nick Lynn joins us this morning on the Sports Ticket. Coach, thanks for taking some time previewing the season. You've got a crew that has some experience coming back, and I think a lot of people out there could be wondering if this is your final season coaching volleyball and basketball. It's a possibility. So kind of one last ride here with this group. You lost four seniors last year, too, that played quite a bit for you in Miley Raby and also Haley Feldman. And you do have five players back that have a lot of varsity experience. So still an experienced group from a team that made it to the state championship, finished second. You've gone to three state championship games in a row. And when you kind of look at this group, what's been the focus of turning over a new leaf here to start 2023?
Well, to answer your first statement, I don't know what next year brings for me. And you know, that's I go day by day, you know, and I'm not smart enough to go beyond that. But now we do have experience back. We have very, very little depth right now with varsity experience beyond the ones that have played. But we have, of the six that will be in our starting rotation, five are seniors. And those are the five girls that we have out. So from that standpoint, the kids work hard. We have experience in certain positions. We're working hard to try to find get more experience for one more outside hitter. And then and maybe our blocking is an issue because we have a couple short setters, you know. But beyond that, you know, we went and played exhibition games at Hayes the other night, and not that we did pretty well. We beat Hayes High and Ellis, and we lost to Harbrecker kind of at the end to Hoisington, but pretty good Hoisington team. But as far as our goals are no different than what they have been. You know, we want to have a successful season, certainly, and we feel like we'll be competitive.
You mentioned the going to Hayes there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the first time you've been out to a jamboree before the season starts. But what does that do to help you get prepared for this first couple of matches coming up in league play coming up tonight?
Yeah, well, that trip that we took down there really helped us from the standpoint that we made a number of errors in terms of rotation and were called for them, and so we got that out of the way. But we've made some changes since that practice down there. We've changed how we do our blocking. We're actually doing some single blocking this year because of that, and we've moved our rotation one turnover. And so we've done some changes that we think would be for the better, and going down to Hayes probably helped that.
There's going to be a lot of names that people know this year. Cameron Hutchinson, one of the best setters in the area and also the state, obviously, over her time before she's a senior. A lot of seniors on this group. Gracie Kirkhoff, Tenley Rentschler, Dakota Kattenberg, yeah, Bailey Archer back. And Lily Highland is a sophomore, played quite a bit for you last year, too. So what does it help? How does it help to have that kind of experience when you're trying to go out and have success?
Well, the best thing is they've all been through it. Mm-hmm. The names you've mentioned, and Cameron, she's not only a very good setter, but she's in all of our, you know, has been in all of our serve receives as a primary passer, but she's a floor general. You know, she's tough minded, and that's where her strength begins, is that we can build around her. And Dakota Kattenberg has turned into a really pretty good middle hitter, and Tinley Rentschler, both of those girls are very good angle hitters from the middle. And Bailey Archer still has her really good serve, but I would say probably going into, and Gracie Kirkhoff, one of the best outside hitters around, you know, and And but I think the most improved player is probably Lily Hyland, our libero from last year. She's turning into a pretty good libero digger, back row player. And last year, there were times we had to hide her as a libero. That's kind of embarrassing. But we this year in practices and stuff, she stepped it up, and that's certainly helping our team.
Trigo and Plainville to open out the season. What do you expect from these two teams the first time out?
I have no idea what they have back, and I don't know, where they stand in our league and that kind of thing. And I think it'll be all right. We'll be ready to play, and I'm sure that they will too.
Nick Lynn, head coach of the Smith Center Lady Red Volleyball Team. Coach, thanks for the time, and best of luck as you open out the season here.
You bet. Thank you.
Again, the Lady Red opening out tonight against Trigo and Plainville in a triangular there in Smith Center. That'll start at 5 o'clock for varsity. So if you're looking to check out the Smith Center squad here this season, they do open up tonight. Should be another great year for Smith Center Lady Red Volleyball. As you heard Coach Lynn, they are working on a little bit of their depth that they don't have that they maybe have had in the past. So other players will have to step up, and that's the case most years where you have to find other people to do the job. So Smith Center again opening tonight with Trigo and Plainville there in Smith Center, Mid-Continent League Volleyball.
All right, so fall sports fully underway, no doubt, and we're looking forward to kicking off football season come up on Friday. John Betts, Kansas Pregame, join us here in about 5 to 10 minutes to talk and preview high school football across north central Kansas. Big story last night, very scary situation. Atlanta Braves star outfielder Ronald Acuna Jr., who is a candidate to win the MVP in the National League, involved in an unusual and potentially dangerous situation last night during the seventh inning of the Braves game against the Rockies in Colorado. Acuna was accosted by two fans who trespassed onto field of play. First fan hugged Acuna before being brought down by security. As that happened, yet another fan found their way onto the field into Acuna. That fan also appeared to try hugging Acuna, but inadvertently tackled him. It didn't tackle him. He bumped him to the ground. I love how they write these things. And there's a video right with the article, and you watch it. You click on the video, and you watch it. Like, the person didn't tackle him. They basically just kind of their momentum had him fall to the ground. Anyway, after the game, Braves outfielder Kevin Pillar said that there was no sense that the fans had any ill intent, but that their presence created potential danger. Acuna said that those fans just wanted to take a picture with him. That's all they wanted to do. Well, maybe they could do that, I don't know, when the game isn't going on. Very dangerous situation. Some fans have lost their minds, and they need to check themselves. And maybe even have to check themselves into somewhere else. So it's ridiculous. No. Your place is in the stands. Don't be a dumbass and come out on the field. And yeah. You know what? I love seeing people. I'll be honest. I love when I see people. I don't want to say I condone violence, but if you're going to go running out onto the field towards a player or a manager or a coach and you're trespassing and you know you're not supposed to go out there, I hope the security guard sends you into another atmosphere. I hope he levels you so dang hard that you can't see straight for a little while, because I think that'll teach you. It's ridiculous. You have no place in doing that. No place whatsoever in doing it. And those people should never get to go to a game ever again. They know they're not supposed to do that. There's no rationale. Oh, sure, they can come up with rationale, but it'll make no sense. So luckily, nothing bad happened. They didn't have a knife or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
But it is scary the way fans are being, and seems like it's gotten worse after COVID. It's like, well, I was quarantined, so now I have the right of way to do whatever I want. It's like, no, that's not at all how it works. But that's how some people think. Anywho, Ronald Acuna last night had a big night. After that happened, he singled, stole a 61st base of the year, then had a bases clearing double and scored. He has 29th homer last night, so he has 29 homers and 61 stolen bases. Could be the MVP. So getting bumped or tackled, as this one writer said, did not affect his game too much last night. All right, the big news when it comes to the Chiefs, there are some people. The fan favorite is Amir Smith-Marset. Well, he is no longer a Chief. He has been traded to the Carolina Panthers in exchange for a swap of conditional 2025 seventh rounders. So not a major deal here, other than you made it. It's pretty clear now. I think they're carrying the seven receivers, and the seven we think are going to make it are going to make it, and that takes care of that. So Marset will not be a Kansas City Chief for those of you that were really excited about the flavor of the week, as I say. The flavor of the week after the second preseason game was Shane Bouchel. Flavor of the week after the third one was Amir Smith-Marset and LaMichael Pirine. We'll see if Pirine makes a team or if he's traded later on today. The Chiefs, along with the other 31 teams in the NFL, need to have the active roster roster cut down to 53 by 3 this afternoon. Dusty will have that updated on his 5 o'clock sportscast today on both our radio stations. And after the teams announce the 53 members of the active roster, they are permitted to have 16 players on their practice squad. So keep in mind that maybe, you know, P. Ryan isn't on the roster, but he might be on the practice squad. That's a possibility as well. Shane Buechele, you could throw him in that mix too. And in regards to Chris Jones, the Chiefs can put him on a reserve did not report list, so he doesn't take an active roster spot. There is something the Chiefs can do, honestly, where he could end up missing a couple of games and Chiefs don't have to pay him based on how they want to place this thing and everything. So he's gonna he could lose some more money, Chris Jones could, if he doesn't report soon, or simply him and the Chiefs work something out. And according to various people now closer to the situation than I am, saying that doesn't seem like there's a lot of progress being made between Chris Jones and the Chiefs. And I have to admit, I thought it would be done by now. So it's not, and that causes concern for Chiefs Kingdom, certainly.
Yeah, it's I thought it'd be done too. Just move on with it, and we'll get him in here when he's here.
By the way, they said in 2026, the NFL salary cap will probably go from $226 million over $300 million. So if you're thinking down the line, Chris Jones won't hurt you by the time you get to that point if you give him $30 million a year. Well, we'll see what happens. Tennis, real quickly. I saw Novak. He crushed the guy last night. His return to the U.S. Open. Coco Gauff barely won in three sets. And controversy there because the player she was playing from Germany was super slow. Yeah. Wouldn't be ready when Coco's ready to serve. Anything else noteworthy?
I think you really covered it. The four seed Holger Rune, who I don't think anybody knows, got beat in the first round in the men's side. But otherwise, everybody else pretty much rolling on.
All right. Djokovic last night was just toying with the guy. It was something. And, you know, he missed last year because he didn't have the vaccination status and so forth and so on. And so it's good to see him back there in New York. They honored Billie Jean King, a long ceremony, which didn't happen until almost 9:45. Well, I don't know why they didn't do that to start the night.
I don't think they thought Coco's match was going to last two hours and 51 minutes.
That's right. That's probably what they thought. That's true. That's a good point. Former First Lady Michelle Obama spoke, did a really nice speech. Billie Jean King then, it was 50 years, celebrating 50 years of equal pay for men and women on the tennis tour that started with the U.S. Open back in 1973. Billie Jean King was a big-time advocate and really sacrificed some things on the court to focus on that, for, you know, equal pay for women. And so it's been 50 years since that happened. And it took 34 years until all the majors caught up and had equal pay. And there's still some tournaments that aren't equal pay when it comes to women's versus men's tennis. So that was an interesting ceremony last night, and very cool honoring Billie Jean King.